Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I will be with you for the next 2 hours on this November the 6th, still on the West Coast, and already November the 7th on the East Coast and Central United States. Welcome to the show. I've got a doozy planned for you tonight. And I call it a doozy because I think we're at a point where we must face our problems. And I'm getting a lot of email from people, so I decided to respond in a show where we actually get down to brass tacks and talk about how taking responsibility works, how we apply our knowledge, how we gain knowledge, how we sort it out, and how we communicate this amongst each other and then to others who are still asleep. We're going through very rough times right now. Most people know if they've listened to the show for a week, they know that. If they've listened to it for a month, they know that 4 to 5 times as much. And of course, we can keep multiplying, add days, add weeks, add months, even in I'm approaching a year right here on BBS, and I've been on the air for roughly 2 years putting this information out, either as a guest on other talk shows or as a host on my own show. And I'm still guest hosting or appearing as a guest on many shows around the world, not just here in the United States. Now, this is not braggadocio. This is just the fact that there are people out there that are craving the truth, and the truth is staring us right in the face. Problem is how we're listening, how we're seeing things, how we're feeling things, and we're mixing it all up. There's a lot of noise going on. There's a lot of chaos going on. And we're going to sort that out tonight, and this will not be the only show of this kind, I assure you, but it's going to be a starting point, and it'll give everyone a chance to apply some of the principles I'm going to talk about. I don't ask anyone to believe what I'm saying. This is something tonight that I'm going to share with you that comes from metaphysics. It comes from a conviction that there is a God that created the universe, and you can't imagine how expansive that universe is unless you open yourself up to the possibility that it has been created by God and that he has a plan for all of us and that we have a responsibility to fulfill a promise or an oath that we have taken. This is my own conviction, and I know many people that share that same conviction. And I'm reminding you again, I'm not asking you to believe me. You can study these things that I'm going to talk about tonight with our guest, by the way. I'm going to do maybe a majority of the talking, and my guest is going to be gracious enough. He's agreed to be gracious enough to be a sounding board so that I can show you how what I'm going to be talking about tonight is going to work. If we don't do that, you're not going to see it in action. I can throw words at you, I can tell you things, and some of this can be considered teaching on a metaphysical level, on an intuitive level, on a spiritual level, and even in the mental plane. But in an expansive way, in terms of universal mind, in terms of how what you think, what you do, what you say, how you act affects the overall essence of everything that's alive. And that means everything, really. And we're going to talk about the oneness of all things and how we fit into that. Because We are severely compartmentalized. We are severely divided. And before I go any further than that, I just want to thank all the wonderful people who have been sending email encouraging me to keep telling the truth, regardless of the cost, regardless of the danger. I have no fear there, so I don't see the danger, but I understand what you mean. Some people are concerned for their own safety, and when they hear someone speak the truth, and they know that they're hearing it sometimes for the first time, or they see what's happened to others who have told the truth, they sense fear, okay? And I remind you that fear is false evidence appearing real. It's a belief in an illusion. It's accepting the illusion as if it's the reality. And in a sense, it is the reality if you see nothing else. So tonight's show is going to clarify that. And we're going to start with ourselves. Before I do that, again, thank you for all the wonderful email. And I think in the coming days and weeks, I'm going to start reading a few emails that people send me, of course, with your permission. So if you email me and have a comment or a suggestion for the show, pro or con, I really don't, it doesn't matter to me. Obviously, no one wants to hear anything negative, but if you have something constructive to add, I'm certainly going to give that as much importance as the compliments. I'm encouraged by the fact that many people are expressing their own truth and their gratitude for having been awakened and come to this place called bbsradio.com. They've come to this show called Evident Footprints, and they've come to hear me and my guests speak, and the occasional caller that we get. I'm not going to fret over whether or not people call. The preponderance of email I've gotten says that people are almost in a state of shock hearing the truth, and they enjoy the flow of the information. They enjoy the consciousness, the revelations that are occurring within their own lives, and they, above all, enjoy the guests that I have on the show. And I'm going to continue to bring the same guests as well as new guests. I'm working on actually fulfilling some of the requests for new guests. Also, I would like to say hello to Karen, Bob and Bill, David Crenshaw, Zachariah, Sheila, Sylvia, Jill, and the General. And I want to thank you folks for listening and all the folks with Project Alliance. We appreciate what you're doing. Now, that said, and there are millions of names I could throw out there. I've got so many people who religiously email me, keep me up to date with articles that are coming out. I'm appreciative of that. If I don't respond, that doesn't mean that I'm not reading your email or that I have just decided that I'm not going to. Sometimes there's just not the time in the day. And by the time you send me your 10th email, I'm getting around to reading the first or the second one. So understand that it's appreciated, and that's a form of what we're going to talk about tonight as well. With that, I'm going to bring back again a good friend of mine. He is a environmental scientist. He's an herbologist, also a historian. He's actually many, many things and wears many hats. Sometimes I think he wears them all at the same time. And he's a great musician and a music composer and one of my best friends, Mr. Michael Anthony. Michael, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Don. Thanks for inviting me back.
Always a pleasure. And, you know, you've heard some of the email that I've gotten about you appearing here and how well your private stock works. And so I'm happy to have you back, and I'm sure the listening audience is as well.
It's great to be back, and yeah, that's wonderful to hear the positive feedback with the products, and great to know that people are benefiting from them, and I consider them friends as well, so that's just a nice blessing.
Well, I'm glad you feel that way. Michael, we're going to get serious tonight, and not that we haven't been serious in the past. we're going to be serious here. I'm going to open up a topic, and I'm going to use you, pardon the expression, as a sounding board, if you'll permit me to do that. And I know you've already agreed off the air, so don't say no while we're on the air. So do we have your permission? I guess I should allow you to...
I'm here for you, buddy.
Okay. You see the chaos that's going on in the world right now, I'm sure. I don't need to tell you that. You well recognize what's going on, whether it's earthly matters, and I'm speaking about the earth herself, the pollution, the earthquakes, the melting of the polar ice caps, the water really being in some places direly in need of replenishment, and then basically around the planet the water is polluted everywhere. The oceans, fish are dying, animal life is dying, plant life is dying, species are disappearing off the surface of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And these things get blamed either on what people do or they get blamed on causes that have really nothing to do with nature herself. Nature is quite capable of taking care of herself and doesn't need man's interference. It's man's interference that's caused all these problems.
As always.
Now, as someone such as yourself who spends a lot of time in nature and with nature and appreciates nature and nurtures nature, you experience nature nurturing you back, do you not?
Absolutely, Don. I mean, I could never even survive and be totally fit, happy, and healthy as I am right now if it wasn't for nature. I can't imagine anyone, many modern people today are totally disconnected from nature, so they won't even have a clue as to what I'm really referring to.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is, it's like we're branches and she's the vine. You can't break off from the vine and expect to live. And so I'm well connected to her and always will be.
Or you could even say that maybe we're just the fruit. And those vines may or may not produce fruit. Just on the basis of the degradation of humanity. And we're seeing this. If we look at our political system right now, I'm sure you would agree that it's in decrepit shape, or if you were to look at the economic system or the religious, organized religion and education, those are the primary concerns people have. But even things like just our food supply and the manner in which food is grown now, it's become, it's referred to often as Frankenfoods.
Yes.
They're experimental or intentionally modified foods, genetically modified foods that are intended not to nourish us, but just to keep us in a lower frequency to control us, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, Don, and technically we are like trees, and we either bear good fruit or bad fruit. And so unfortunately, there's too many people out there just bearing bad fruit or no fruit at all. With respect to modern technologies, our real dilemma is that we're in a situation where a controlling elite are monopolizing everything, and they're preventing us from expanding into other areas of resources that will give us pollution-free energy sources, so that we wouldn't be contaminating Mother Nature with all of our activity. I mean, they provide the farmers with synthetic fertilizers. That rolls off into the waterways when it rains a lot, and that contaminates everything, killing all aquatic life. And then you have the Frankenfoods, like you're saying, with the genetic modifications being done in laboratories, which is incredibly evil. To think that mortal man, with all his faults, is going to be as good as God with perfect foods. It's impossible. They're contaminating perfection. They're manipulating perfection and affecting it so that it's no longer perfect. And that's what we're dealing with GM foods, indigestible, and also a blight on nature itself as they generate pollens that are not natural. And so then we have the technology area where they're controlling us with this petroleum for the last 100 years, which is so pathetic, so primitive. And then politically, yes, the corruption politically with no real leadership, a bunch of stooges, and unfortunately traitors committed to a globalist agenda which requires the demise of our country, the middle class, all productivity, and also our spiritual freedoms of pursuing Christianity, because the bottom line from all my observations is they're after Christians, Christians and patriots.
Yes. Well, you know, we can go on and on and on about this. I want to go now into the crux of what I want to talk about tonight, because when you have chaos, you can look at virtually everything around the planet and see that nothing is working right now. These systems, we have become dependent upon the government to protect us from the things that they tell us we should be afraid of. We succumb to the programming of how they want to herd us down a particular path of action, and it's called life by most people, and most people really never achieve the potential of who we are as creatures of God, as creatures in the universe, similar to many others around the universe, and very different, and probably some of the most primitive that are out there.
Sure, and that's only due to the fact that many of our brothers and sisters haven't caught on to that their real essence is a spiritual being in a physical body, having a physical experience. And they're just not catching on to that yet.
Yes, okay. Now, my intention here, folks, is not to put down the people who are sleeping. You know, they're asleep. It's serving a purpose right now for them. One could say it's a karmic purpose. One could say that they're maintaining some energy in a certain shape so that what we who are awake can do is learn from the very responsibility of waking them up. Now, this requires a few definitions first before we go into a discussion about this. I'm going to do my best not to rant, but to teach. And as I teach, I'm also going to be learning. And Michael is, Michael, you're going to play the role of the student in a sense, but I don't want you to be dumb. I don't want you to be the typical American educated student here.
Definitely not going to be that dumb.
Okay, so you get the idea here, okay? Now, with all this chaos that we have, and listening to the people, I get a lot of this in the email that I receive. We appreciate the truth, and we're at this point where now we ask the question, what can I do, or what can we do? What can we do to help? We feel so helpless, or we hear the solutions, yet I'm just one person. I hear this a lot. I'm just one person. I really can't change things. Well, when you make that statement that you are just one person, you're separating yourself intentionally from everyone else. And you're not recognizing the oneness of all things on a greater scale. So that's a larger concept. I don't want to go too far with that right now. The second point I'd like to make is that in this chaos or in this environment, and Michael, you described it as being controlled. And in a sense, I did too. We are controlled, and there's a purpose behind that control. Those that control us have their own agenda to fulfill, and it's about control. It's about power. It's about domination. It's about greed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's multi-tiered. There's more than one faction of beings involved in this. And most people just focus on the government. They have become so dependent upon the government that they really feel disempowered. And that's when fear sets in, because they don't understand what has happened. They don't understand how this has happened. They don't understand what they can do to change it. And we had someone run for president who's not even an American, and the people swooned over this person, and they're calling him a messiah and a savior. And this is part of the same problem, is that we're waiting for someone else to save us. We're waiting for someone else to do it for us. And that's not why we were created. We were created to take responsibility. Now, this requires an ability to communicate, which you and I are going to do. We're going to set the example, as we already are, for the listening audience. And we're going to, I think it would, I should ask you this, first of all, if you think it makes sense for us, if we're going to solve a problem, and the ultimate solution that we're looking for is freedom. All of us, we want to be free. It's our intention to be free. Free from the oppression. Free from the mind control, the propaganda, the dumbing down, the murder, the wars, the drugging, the beating, the assaults on our mental state and our physical state and our emotional state. All the things that divide us, we're looking to be healed and to be free, ultimately. Would you agree with that?
Well, sure, Don. Those are the fundamentals of existence.
Okay.
And so that's a definite.
Okay. Now, since we are going to go along a path together to reach that state of consciousness, it would behoove us to agree to go side by side with this. And this is not something, in a sense, that is going to be achieved at the end only. In fact, I think we err when we start learning something and we think at the end of a course in college, then we'll know what the course is about. You progress through the course by studying the material and the way it's taught in a traditional school, whatever the topic, you're quizzed occasionally, or you have tests, or you have to demonstrate some capacity to have already absorbed the information. It's maybe not the best way to learn to do that, because you're just mocking something that's already been done. In fact, that's part of the problem. And the key is in our definition of who we are and the knowledge that we're trying to acquire. So I'm going to use a couple of definitions here to get us rolling, if that's okay with you.
Sure.
You would agree, I'm sure, and the listening audience would agree, that we are individuals, each one of us out there. Bob out there is Bob. He considers himself me or I. He calls himself that. And so he separates himself. He says, I have to go to work, or I am hungry, or I am tired, or I feel good, or I am sick. He has all these expressions that he uses, and his reality is based around himself. There are a lot of Bobs out there, by the way. It seems like on TV, everybody's name is Bob. Okay? Then we have Betty out there, Bob and Betty, we'll say. And Betty has the same issues, but her issues are a bit more female than Bob. Bob is the man. He's the tough guy. He's got to do the hard chores. He's got to do the manly stuff. And Betty has to do the womanly stuff, but because of how society's been manipulated, Betty now is sort of acting like a Bob in a skirt, if you get my meaning. And I don't mean a politician in drag here. I'm saying she has to do the same kind of work that Bob does, and she may or may not be getting paid the same amount of money, but having Bob work and having Betty work, and let's say Bob and Betty are married, And so now they've divided the family up because both of the spouses have to work. No one's minding the roost. No one's taking care of home. Now, if there's children at home, the children are being neglected. And so the eyes, or these individuations of humanity now, are in their own little struggle. They're not working together. They're working for something else, and they're not getting the fulfillment. They're not getting the freedom. They're not getting the reward or the realization or even the opportunity to be creative. You see, our creativity is stifled by this. And when our creativity is stifled, we can't see the forest for the trees. We can't see solutions to solve our problems. So we have to, first of all, agree that we have problems, right?
Of course.
Okay. Then, and we have to agree that we're individuals with problems, right?
Well, we just have to come to terms of what we are and what we are not, Don. And so as an individual, yes, we have to observe what our weaknesses are and our strengths. You cultivate the strengths, you eliminate the weaknesses.
Okay, okay. Now, as individuals, the meaning of that word really means indivisible. It means whole, or holy, or even sacred. Yet, in this chaos that we described previously, we are fragmented. We're all over the place. And if you just think about all the things in the listening audience, think about what you had on your mind today. You were all over the place. You were very fragmented. And you were not focused. This happens to me if I'm in the middle of something and I get a phone call, or I have to answer an email, or I'm pulled into some other event. I have to all of a sudden throw that switch and divert my attention in the other direction. Sometimes I have to multitask, where there's a percentage of me working on each little thing that's going on at the same time. And it's because of the nature of what I do that enables me to do that sometimes. And sometimes I can't do it. It would cause all of the work to suffer. It would cause me to make mistakes. It would give me undesirable results. In other words, it would compound my problem. Or it's what we call muddying the waters. So as an individual, if I see that I am fragmented, if I admit that I could be fragmented, or any of us could be fragmented, then I have to ask the question, what is it going to do or take? What has to happen? What has to occur for me all of a sudden now to unfragment myself or recognize who I really am? Most people would say that is knowledge. I'm sure you'd probably agree with that, Michael.
Well, it's a more specific type of knowledge. Knowledge is very general.
I'm being general intentionally.
Okay.
Okay. I don't want to get into the specific of what kind of knowledge it is.
Okay.
But knowledge, because you know, we're not talking about a specific type of fragmentation or a specific type of focus. We're just speaking about fragmentation, focus, which brings the whole back together, the pieces. It brings the pieces into a unit, or into unity. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, since you and I are traveling the same path right now together, and we're in agreement that we're going to look at this problem, we cannot deny that it is there. That would be our first error, or that would be our first impediment, or that would cause us to not even have to do this exercise. We could say, okay, show's over. Good night, folks. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So those who are asleep, to an extent, are in denial. And there are some people who are awake that at various amounts are in denial about some other things. Now, what causes denial? Is it because we're sensing these things in our heads and what we call in our mind or in our thoughts?
Well, that I would just clarify that and say that anytime there is denial, then that person is still sleeping in that particular aspect. Just a lot of, it's not that people that are awake are not necessarily awake, Don. 24/7. They have their bouts of being awake, maybe up for a long interval of time where they're consciously awake, but it's easy to drift back to sleep. That's the world we're in. So it's a constant effort to maintain a waking state.
That's
and
right.
That's the whole trick to everything here.
Yes, yes, you're very right. That's very right, okay? So now let's say that we agree that this individual that we are, if we have been fragmented by all of these conditions and we want to free ourselves of that, in fact, we've called this the matrix, right, or the paradigm that we're in. It's a construct. It's what we call inside the box. We want to liberate ourselves, or we want to free ourselves from the box, from the matrix, from this paradigm, from this false reality, from this illusion. Then we have to be able to look at it objectively from outside. Now, there are a few difficulties with this, and these are difficult to explain as well. And that's the fact that, okay, I can buy the fact that I'm an individual and that I might be fragmented, and then I can put myself back together by realizing that and doing what it takes to put myself back together. That means I have to change my thinking patterns, or I have to maybe listen to be able to hear, or I have to look to be able to see, or I have to feel. Use my senses, in other words, all of my senses to feel what's happening, okay? And that's where we get the three modalities of the human being.
Okay, Don, and so to sum that up, it comes down to this. What you're alluding to is simply awareness. We have to learn how to be aware, consciously aware of everything.
Yes.
The more we are aware of, the more awakened we are.
Yes, and that requires our attention.
Constant attention.
Yes, we have to be so disciplined with our attention and in agreement that we are not going to drift away from that. In other words, we're not going to lose our focus and allow our focus to become blurred or dimmed.
That's right, Don. And so you know what that requires? Sobriety.
Well, yes, that's an issue. We're not even going to go there yet.
No. I don't mean just being intoxicated, okay? But we have to be very somber.
Serious.
At all times.
Yes. I would say
somber.
Somber, okay. Somber, but I would just use the word serious at this point. Somber to me is a little bit darker of a feeling. I can be serious about something. Now, why would we want to, if we admit that we have a problem, and I don't care what the problem is, we can speak very generally here, and maybe throw out some examples later.
Okay.
But for the purpose of moving along with this, if we are talking about a problem and we need a solution, it requires knowledge. Now,
in order to acquire this kind of knowledge...
Wait, I haven't made my statement yet.
But let me just say this.
I haven't made my statement yet. You agreed that we were going to walk together in this. So
go ahead, Don.
This is part of the reason why I have you engaged in this, so that we can show this example working. Okay. And I'm not dishonoring the fact that you have something to say.
No, I know. Go ahead, Don. Get your point so I don't lose my line of thought.
Okay. Knowledge is what is known. When we refer now to what is known, we are referring to the past. And when we refer to things from the past tense or in the past tense, we now produce that cycle or that revolution that keeps us locked in the matrix. We have to go outside and act or apply the knowledge in the now, rather than saying, well, I knew this, or I learned this, I know this, and I've known it, so therefore I move on and not use what is known. You see, because as you are the individual, what the individual has known is the past. So in that sense, you are an individual operating as if you are in the past, repeating the same mistakes or repeating the things that maybe aren't mistakes, but are just giving you undesirable results.
Okay, can I?
Now you can go.
All right, so what you're saying, Don, comes down to this. In order to acquire the key knowledge that keeps us awake, that's a mental function. We're dealing with the mind here. So the mind has to always be clear and focused, very sharp. That's what it takes. That's what I was meaning before about being somber and sober, because it's all about the mind faculty. It has to be razor sharp, crystal clear, and focused in order to do that kind of brain work necessary to accumulate this kind of knowledge that will keep us awake indefinitely.
Okay.
And so knowledge is simply the information. That's what knowledge is. And the problem with people is that we're absorbing useless information that doesn't really benefit you, and they're allowing themselves to absorb a lot of that, but they're filtering out the good information, the critical information that will benefit them in all kinds of ways throughout their lives.
Okay, very, very good. Now, let me jump in there. We're kind of putting the cart before the horse, and we'll come back to this in a moment if I can lead us to the next step, because you're already ahead of the next thing that I was going to say.
That's how I am.
So, but I'm not criticizing you. I'm just pointing this out.
No,
you see, this is for all of us. We're all learning here, okay? Now, where does one hear the voice of God? Let me ask you that question in as few words as possible. Where does one hear in their makeup, individual?
It's internal most of the time, of course.
Where?
Through the heart center.
Very good. In the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? In the heart. Actually, all of our perceptions, all of our valid perceptions are in the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are going to be some people out there that say, oh, what are you talking about? The heart pumps blood, you know, and the heart gets broken when we're not in love anymore, or when someone's done us wrong, or when something doesn't work out the way we planned it to work out. You see?
Let me just say this real quick. It's the heart center that's critical for communication with our higher self and the Creator Himself. However, when I hear the thoughts, it's in my head, but it's only because my heart center is sufficiently developed, because the heart center is the emotional body, and our emotions have to be properly tuned, and then we'll be receptive for the thoughts coming from our higher self or the Creator Himself.
Well, yeah, but let me add to that, that I think there is a misconception in general that the higher self is some special part of us that is greater than, let's say, the lower self. You could say the higher self is the supra-conscious mind or the super-conscious mind, and the lower self is the subconscious mind, and the middle self is this mental state that we're in this illusion, right?
Well, so now, this is where definitions are so critical, because my definition of higher and lower self are different.
I'm not speaking about the lower self in terms of base desires.
Well, that's why we got to be clear on definitions. I wouldn't call it the lower self then, because the lower self, as from all my references, is the mortal nature, the carnal self. Our higher self is our real nature, the divine nature, which is immortal.
Well, I'm referring to the lower self as the part of us which we would call the subconscious, okay?
Well, let's just call it the subconscious then.
I'm using that analogy because there a lot of people use this term, the lower self, and it's how we act out of our subconscious. You're right in that, but I'm using that just so people can visualize where it is. Okay, think of lower, middle, higher. None is more or less important than the other. They're all equally important.
Yeah, I mean, that's all part of our mental makeup.
I'm going beyond mental, because superconsciousness has nothing to do with my mind. My mind is a tool. If there's no energy or information flowing through it, it's like a tool sitting in a toolbox without a carpenter and a job to perform.
Sure, but with the cultivated awareness, the mind is now operating in the superconscious realm or current.
Well, the potential is there. A certainty, I would say, we don't know that at this point. And we're moving too fast ahead. Again, we're getting the horse behind the cart. Okay, just for the sake of this exercise, let's try to stay together, okay? We're going to agree to approach this together in a serious way. And in a creative way. I'm not saying you're not being serious.
I'm just trying to keep things nice and clarified for your listeners as well as myself so we can follow what you're specifically trying to say.
All right. Now, we're not debating here. We're just clarifying these murky issues.
Right.
Okay?
Exactly.
Okay. Now, in the sense that you were talking about the lower self, yes, I understand. You're talking about the base desires. You're talking about the areas through which one sins, for example. And often those sins come about because they come directly out of our subconscious without us thinking about it. So I recognize that. But for just the distinction, the subconscious is a repository of every thought, every experience we've had, every emotion everything we see, every bit of information that has passed through our awareness, and with or without our attention, has been deposited into the subconscious mind. And it comes out on occasion when it just comes out. We can be asleep and it comes out, and we have nightmares, or we have certain kinds of dreams. Or it can come out in the middle of a radio show and make us say something really stupid. I do that quite a bit, okay? and I think we all do, but nobody's really trying to be stupid, okay? And it's how we move through these energies. What I'm referring to, the reason I'm referring and I'm being so adamant about the heart is because I know that's where my metaphysical gifts are. And I know that that's where my love for humanity is, and for nature and for God and for all of God's creation is in my heart. Now, what is being played upon us by those that control society is they have gotten us to buy into an illusion that our heart is in our mind. And everything that is dear to us comes to us and is believed and becomes a reality in our mind as if our heart is in our mind. It's what you could call a mind heart. Yeah. And there's no such thing other than the result of propaganda, mind control, and programming.
Yeah, I don't know if I would explain it like that though, Don.
Well, for the purpose of this, that's how I'm choosing to explain it. And you'll understand why a bit later. Okay?
Okay.
Now, if we are individuals and we are agreeing that we have to become whole, you see already that there is sort of a, I'm not saying there's a struggle, but there's a back and forth kind of energy happening here, and we are at different levels of how we see things. It doesn't mean that one is higher than the other. It's just based upon experiences and how those experiences register and whether or not we pay attention to them and what they mean to us and how we use them. In other words, what part of our activities do these things become?
Can I mention something?
Sure.
You're right, Don, but I explain it like this because I think it's going to be easier for everyone to perceive what you're trying to say. For example, today we see science and we see religions and priests. Now, the priests are supposed to be the ones close to the Lord, and the scientists are the ones supposed to be figuring out creation. And so today we're told there's a contradiction because the scientists claim there can't be a creator based on all their science that they've accumulated.
For whom do they, Michael, for whom do they do that?
Okay, but hold on, Don. I know that, but here's my point. The priests supposedly are the ones that are in rapport with God and the Creator. However, that isn't the case. They're both in error. And the reason why, because in order to be functioning at the higher levels and to have the, which gives you the ability to communicate with our Creator and our higher self, it requires both the intellect, the mind, which is the science, it involves the intellect center, which is where science operates from, to be functioning, as well as the heart center, which is the emotional body, the feeling. You gotta feel it. So the priests, they are supposed to have the feeling nature, but today that's questionable. And the scientists are supposed to have the intellect center, and that's questionable today. A lot of scientists are such amateurs, it's hilarious.
Okay.
But in the old days, Don, like the Lord himself was a priest scientist. That's how it is.
Okay.
I am a priest scientist.
Okay, Michael, I want to keep it just on the human level right now. I mean, we're going to talk about...
I am.
Okay. But it's not about the Lord at this point. This is about the individual, each one of us as an individual. Now, the reason I'm interrupting here, and again, the cart is before the horse. The reason why, and I'm not saying what you're saying is not correct. I'm in agreement. We're ahead a little bit here.
Okay, you got it down. But before you run with it, let me just, my point of that is just to illustrate that's what it takes in order to start to acquire the real knowledge that we have to have in order to be free individuals. We have to have the intellect center, the emotional center, the heart, and the mind in full functioning the way it's designed to be, and then
okay, we have to
we
take
will be what yeah. we're supposed to be.
One at a time. One at a time. Now, since you brought up the scientist and the religious leader, we won't put a more specific definition on if that's a preacher or a minister or a rabbi or whatever, the religious leader.
Mm-hmm.
Who do they, who is their responsibility to? Who do they perform their duties for, in other words?
Well, that could be answered a number of ways, Don. I mean, we're all here accountable to only one being.
We're all responsible for the individual, ourselves, right?
We're responsible for ourselves, of course.
Okay, so the reason I point that out is now,
accountable is another thing.
We're putting the cart behind the horse now by saying it this way. We depend on them to tell us. We are conforming to whatever they bring to us, okay? And you and I both know that science lies about what they know and about how things work. In fact, they don't understand much about how things work. In a metaphysical level, they understand nothing about how things work. Everything has become synthetic. In that sense, right?
Mm-hmm. Except for the elite people that are connected with the controllers who know everything. But they're keeping all that suppressed.
Well, yes, but do they know everything or are they just misusing what they know?
They know a lot, Don. They're very advanced in metaphysics.
Okay.
Very advanced.
That's my point, is that we have that responsibility ourselves.
Sure.
Individually, we are ultimately responsible. We keep delegating this responsibility to others. We give up our power by doing that. That's the point I'm getting at here.
That's right.
We make the decision, or we don't even make the decision. We just allow someone else to take our power away.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that statement, if anyone out there listening understands the depth of that statement, it is very self-empowering. You will be empowered by that, by the realization that you are responsible for what happens to you in your life. And you are responsible for what happens to everyone else.
Well,
now, that sounds like a contradiction, because I just said we allow the scientists to tell us what we should know or what we should believe or how we should feel. We allow
Don, what, it's not that we allow them. It's that we're raised with teachers, and these teachers are not real good teachers.
Well, yes, okay.
That's a
valid point.
We all need teachers as we grow up, but we're not getting quality teachers.
We were taught what was known, right?
No.
Absolutely.
We were taught what they wanted us to believe. They know a whole different set of information, but they won't let us know it.
Michael, you're being too specific. I'm being general on purpose. Known, I use the past tense. They taught us what has been known.
Well,
they don't teach us in the now. They teach us always from the perspective of the past.
Well,
we discovered this. That's a term they use.
Don. See, if you say it like that, it's more understandable what your point is. But the bottom line is, they're giving us teachers that are not really authorities on that subject. They're amateurs.
I understand
except,
that.
Except for math. There's nothing to hide with math.
Michael, I don't want to get modality specific like that.
Okay, but all the other sciences are pretty faulty.
You see, it's making a judgment outside of ourselves as if we can now shift the blame on someone else. We have to keep the blame, if we're going to blame anyone, we have to keep the responsibility on the individual.
Hold on, Don. You can't do that to a 10-year-old, a 12-year-old. They're still in the fashioning years. They're a reflection of
Michael,
their parents and their teacher.
We can teach the kids responsibility.
That's my point. So you can't hold them accountable yet for not catching on. They're still in the formable years where all you're seeing is a reflection of their parents and their teachers. It's not till they're mature enough
in their 20s and older
that they can be held accountable.
We're talking to the adults at almost 2 o'clock in the morning on the East Coast.
So as far as everybody knows, we're talking about mature people now that should be catching on to everything, not kids that shouldn't be catching on.
We're talking about adults. Now, there'll come a time when I'll mention children and our responsibility for educating them properly and nurturing them properly and teaching them properly. And if we do that properly, we are still going to keep learning from them. We are going to become better teachers. They can actually teach us as much as we can teach them.
Sure, there's no learning will never end. No matter how smart you are, you realize that's how little you know. The smarter you are, when you're really smart, that's when you know very little.
You see, we are human beings, and to be requires action.
Mm-hmm.
It requires action. This is the essence of what I'm trying to say tonight, is that...
That's right.
The action.
We're in a world of activity. If you don't want activity, then get buried, because everything's real slow when you're buried.
Okay, so let's review now. Okay, so we agree that we're individuals, and really the meaning of the word means indivisible or whole. Yet what we're experiencing the effects of being fragmented.
Mm-hmm.
And our denial comes from that fragmentation, that separation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the process of looking at religion, somebody says, well, this person is of this faith and this person is of that faith, and therefore I'm right and they're wrong. We have division. We are not recognizing the oneness in all of us. Are because we are ultimately responsible for everything that happens. Everything. First of all, ourselves. We are each individually responsible for what we do, what we say, and how we act. Now, if we're doing that in the highest way, which is what you were referring to before, the highest way in knowledge, which is, if we're doing it the right way, that knowledge is going to keep expanding, and it's going to affect everything that we do and affect everything that, or every being, every person that we touch.
Okay. And the way I would wrap that up, Don, with that concept, you see, as individuals, I have my own personal world. You have your own personal world. But we're functioning simultaneously in the world of man, which is functioning simultaneously in life itself, which has other life forms, the animal kingdom, the plant kingdom. And so I'm responsible for my personal world. You're responsible for your personal world. If my personal world is together and yours is together, well, now we're making the world of man a better place.
Yes. Now, one of the skills that we are lacking in amongst each other, and this is not to say that anyone is at fault, because even in this discussion here, remember I told you I'm going to steer this conversation in a particular direction. It's not for any control purpose or something like that. It's to guide us along this path, okay? And the reason for that is, okay, we've touched very briefly. We could spend hours on each one of these particular topics, and
definitely
we'll likely come back to them many times on other shows as well.
Sure.
We have an individual that is taking responsibility, and so he or she is recognizing the importance of applying knowledge, which produces activity, and now we can come to a place where we communicate with each other, and that means, and you use the word somber. Actually, I sort of replace that intentionally with the word serious. Serious in the sense that it's not a game, it's not something to be taken lightly. If you were the only individual on the planet and you had a problem, how would you solve it?
Say that again?
If you were, for some unknown reason, unexplainable reason, the only person on the planet, and you had any kind of problem, how would you go about solving it?
Don, like I approach any other problem, analyze it, understand its cause, and then fix it. If it was within my means. It might be outside of my means for a long duration until I acquired enough proficiency to fully address that particular problem, have access to it, because again, it's so general, I don't know what kind of problem it could be, physical, spiritual.
Okay. Well, regardless, see, you could say analyze it. I think the first thing might be to identify it or recognize that it's there. You see, when we are in denial, we're not recognizing that a problem is there. Or even it's like when we talk to the public in general on a one-on-one basis in our communities or our travels around the world, and we run into someone and we share something with them that they've never heard before, and they get this glazed look on their face, or they turn away right away and run, or they say something very nasty like you're nuts.
That's because their awareness is not sufficient enough to handle that information.
Well, yeah, it could be awareness, it could be consciousness, it could be fear.
Yes, it's all part of awareness. That's what we are. We're beings with awareness. That's what we are. It's awareness. The more aware we are, guess what? The longer we live. That's a secret.
Well, yes, I mean, that's going in a different direction. It's true, but The point I'm making, well, no, the person that's in fear is maybe not aware of what's causing the fear. You see, they have to be able to identify it. Number one, the reason why they feel the fear, because if they really understood it and they were aware of it, they wouldn't be afraid, would they? If they were aware, they wouldn't have fear. They would that fear is just an illusion. So they have bought into an illusion. Some aspect of them has, and it would have to be going on in the thoughts or in the mind or some unconscious part of their metaphysical makeup. Maybe
in the conditioning process at the moment of birth, Don.
Well, that's not the point I'm trying to make. We're just addressing a moment.
That's the cause of why everybody's still in that mode. It's a conditioning process as soon as we're born.
Okay, you're the only person on the planet, and you have a problem. And there's no one else to blame for that problem. How do you solve it? I come back to that question.
I just don't know if that's the approach, Don, to get the point across. I mean, it's so abstract. You're only person, and you got a problem.
The point is, you have to take responsibility if you're going to set about solving the problem.
Of course, no matter if you're by yourself or if you're surrounded by thousands of people, you have to take individual responsibility.
I singled it out, Michael, for a purpose, that there can be no one else to blame for the problem.
Oh, okay. But, when there's a problem, I never think of blaming somebody. If I got a problem, I never think of blaming somebody else. If I got a problem, there's all kinds of problems. If it's a problem that I created, I blame myself. If it's a problem I didn't create, but somehow it came my way, then I resolve it.
Okay.
One way or the other, sooner or later.
Whose fault is the economy, the American economy?
Of course, it's the international banking cabal.
Oh, so you can blame someone else.
Whose fault is it? It's not my fault.
You see my point, though. Okay, where, in a sense, we are all responsible. Now, that sounds insane. Hold on. That sounds insane, and yet responsibility is exactly that.
Okay.
If each one of us took our personal responsibility, would the bankers have been able to pull this off?
Absolutely not.
Okay. That's the only point I want to make here. We're not going to judge the bankers. We've already been through that.
Okay, but let me just add in real quick. Even though it's not my fault, the economic problems due to the international bankers controlling everything. However, at my individual level, I don't participate in their game. I'm not in debt. I don't owe anybody. I'm living a simple life of modesty so that I only get what I need. If I can't afford it, I don't buy it. And that's at the individual level the way we have to operate. And then also collectively as individuals for this country, we have to know our politics and say, hey, Mr. Representative, Mr. Congressman, Mr. Senator, why the heck are you allowing foreigners to print our money and you're borrowing it from them? That's outrageous treason, and you ought to be held accountable.
Yeah. Okay, Michael, we got to take a short break here, and we'll be right back. Folks, you're listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com, and I and my guest, Michael Anthony, will return shortly. Don't go away.
HempUSA.org is now offering free shipping worldwide to better serve our customers. Our goal is to get these fine hemp products to you in the least amount of time so you can enjoy what the powder seeds and oil can do for you. HempUSA.org has a warning that the U.S. food supplies are dangerously low, and we urge you to protect your family with hemp storable foods today. Tomorrow may be too late. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. This incredible food source is loaded with enzymes so your body can digest the food you eat, and it creates an alkaline environment where cancer can't grow and parasites cannot live, and brings funguses, viruses, and bacterial levels down and to a halt. Try our powder seeds and oil today. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. If the body has the proper nutrition, it will heal itself. Ask yourself, why does our government not allow this crop to grow in the U.S.? This product is also great for pets and animals. Call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org today.
The Idaho Observer, a monthly 24-page newspaper in its ninth year of addressing issues that affect all freedom-loving Americans, is one of the few remaining newspapers courageous enough to print the truth. Concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you? Subscribe today. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues, the Idaho Observer prints what you need to know to be a fully informed American. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307.
Well, partner, we got our pork and beans, we got our coffee, and we got this real nice campfire. Now all we need is the radio. Go get that radio so we can listen to BBS.
Yes, Dad, boss. Got this here radio, but we ain't got no batteries.
Well, I told you to buy some batteries yesterday, but you forgot to buy them today.
A man can only do so many things in one day. Go into town and get some for the both of us.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Welcome back to hour number two of Evident Footprints, and we're back with our guest, Michael Anthony. Michael, this is an interesting discussion, isn't it?
Yes, sir, Don, but they always are.
Okay, now, I know that you want to get these definitions out, and you know, I honor and respect that. I'm just trying to lay the groundwork here. Just for clarification, and this is also for the new listeners, we're talking about how we can take an active approach to solving problems on a massive scale. And this has to do with our ability to recognize our true nature, who we really are, and it's not a question of who we are told we are. In fact, we're really not even told the truth about who we are. We're told everything but the truth about who we are. So we're trying, in a general sense, our best to bring an awareness in a general way as to the reality in terms of how God created us, how the universe functions, how nature works here on Earth, and to learn to recognize illusions. Learn to, as Michael Anthony was saying in the previous hour, to be aware. And our awareness and our problem-solving skills have to be applied in a serious way to problems. We can't pretend like the problems aren't there. And we're not going to solve a problem. If we're each individually responsible, we each must put our attention on the problem in our own way. If there are 10 people together and they all have the same problem and only one works to solve the problem, the other 10 might benefit from the solution if it comes about. But they certainly would rise above that if 2 or 5 or all 10 participated and took responsibility in the same way. And so, much like Michael and I are talking about this, we're communicating this, we're discussing it, so that you can think about it for yourself. And I want to urge everyone, even though we're thinking, we're using thinking processes here, it's a natural thing to do that. That's why we have minds. That's why we have brains. The higher knowledge and the truth is going to come through the heart. And so we have to use our attention, and we also have to use discernment, because if it doesn't sound right, it's not going to feel right. If what I'm saying tonight or what Michael's saying or what we're talking about together doesn't feel right, then don't use it. Don't follow that path. But then don't come back and ask for a solution, because this is one way to arrive at a solution. This is one way to approach responsibility. Now, we're sort of tearing all these issues apart and reassembling them again back in their normal state, so that you can see that every time we come back, we can reiterate a truth, and it sort of refocuses everything, and it rejoins the purpose here. When we have a problem, and all a problem, it could be described very simply as undesirable results. The problem exists because what we hoped would happen or what we intended to happen did not happen. And usually it's because some element is missing from it. It's like baking a cake. There's a way to bake a cake. We don't just mix all the ingredients into the cake and expect it to turn into a cake. There's a procedure to follow. And the quality of the ingredients, yes, determines if it's going to be a good cake or not so good cake. And the way you make a chocolate cake is different from the way you make an angel food cake. We're not really arguing those little details. Those are very specifics about baking a cake. But if you don't put an egg in the cake and you're expecting, or you don't put baking powder or some ingredient that makes it a cake into the cake, you can't expect it to be a cake. And it's the same way in any kind of problem solving. There may be multiple solutions for a problem, but if we don't admit or we don't recognize that there's a problem and we don't claim responsibility for allowing that problem to have been created, if it comes into our reality and it's part of our experience, we have a responsibility in it. Individually, and then collectively. Now, the collectivity, and this is what I'd like to share in this part of the show, Michael, is the communication aspect. The communication aspect in its highest form takes place through the heart. The highest truths come to the heart.
Yes.
Okay? Now, yes, there are thinking processes, and we're going to be using them, so I'm not... You know, I'm not trying to beat this into anyone. I want to express this conviction that I have that the true nature of consciousness, realizing who we are and operating that in a real way, producing knowledge in the now and creating action. Creating is a real key word there, because we can create action from that knowledge, and we can become creative, more creative using that. And one of the keys to that is imagination, or I, magia, and nation. Those three words put together, imagination. All of what's being done to us is also stifling our imagination. All great inventions, all great art, whether it's painting or sculpting or music or dance or any of the arts, even poetry and creative writing, all of the arts come about because of imagination. we're told not to dream. We're told that dreamers are less than human. They're failures. In fact, we have success driven into us. You were very right talking about this in the system, Michael. I just didn't want to bring it out right, you know, before we laid those fundamentals.
Can I add one thing in real quick?
Absolutely, sure.
Because imagination, Don, is the key. And that's why we're made in the image of God, because we image with our mind the way God does.
That's correct. We're creator,
co-creators.
That's correct. Co-creators, very good. We are co-creators. And when we agree, and I'm sure you'll agree with this, when we agree that we are going to work together to apply our creativity or our imagination to coming up with a solution for a problem, you notice we're not talking about they're doing this to us, that they're doing that to us now. We're talking about taking responsibility and making something else, causing something else to happen, which is extremely liberating, or it leads us to freedom and independence. Independence, which means we are not dependent on someone else. It's amazing that we have the word independence in so many of our government documents, the Declaration of Independence, and yet are we really independent in this society?
Not anymore, but the Founding Fathers worked to create a country that would be.
Well, they met their responsibility correctly, didn't they?
Yes, they did. They were a unique set of men and women.
Yes. Now, this isn't an issue about blaming anyone, because it's been done.
Mm-hmm.
And that is in the past. You see, we have knowledge of it. It is known to us what has been done. And now that leaves us to a point to where, are we going to dwell on what is known, or are we going to recreate? Are we going to come up with a new knowledge?
Okay.
As experience, right?
Yeah. Yes, Don. Or, in another perspective, are we going to keep mimicking these old imperfect patterns, or are we going to realize what the perfect pattern is and then become that and then utilize that? Pursue it and make it happen in our personal lives.
Yes, that's the state of action, which is acting, right?
Right.
Or being, you know, the second half of the species, the human being,
mm-hmm.
is a human engaging in activity, living, accomplishing, creating, dreaming, all of those things, with the ings on the end.
Yes, that's right. And you have to develop the faculty of perceiving the truth when it manifests. That's not easy, Don, in the system that we're born into, because we're taught to our senses are dull, our awareness is sleeping. And so when the truth comes around, many people don't even see it, even if it ran into them and slapped them in the face. And that's so critical to becoming free individuals. Recognizing the truth, whatever it is, and following it wherever it leads.
Mm-hmm. Now, the interesting, there's a quality about the truth that is never ending. And that it only remains the truth, and it cannot be attacked. It can be masked, or it can be masked or hidden.
Suppressed.
Or suppressed, that's another word for it. It can be kept secreted from your consciousness, mm-hmm. but in the ultimate reality of where truth exists, that's an impossibility for that to occur.
You can't kill the truth. You can kill the messenger, but you can't kill the truth.
Well, even what I'm saying is ultimately the truth cannot succumb to anything.
Exactly.
It is above all of those things.
Yes, it's God himself. You can't kill it. You know, real quick, the great old Persian prophet, Omar Khayyam, truth stands the test of time. Lies are soon exposed.
Yes, absolutely. That's true.
Right. That's a perfect saying.
See, there's the truth. It's true.
It's a perfect saying, you see.
So, when we're taking in information now, okay, the knowledge that we gain is as a result of information that comes to us. And there's all kinds of information that's floating around. I mean, look at the internet. I'm often asked this question, sometimes by callers on the show or on another show that I might be on, or in emails, in phone conversations, people ask, how can you tell who's telling the truth? It comes back, first of all, it comes back to who is responsible for finding the truth, or who is responsible for discovering the truth, seeing it, hearing it, feeling it. Who is ultimately responsible for that?
That's right, we are.
We are individually. We are.
That's right.
In our whole state. In our whole state, we are also holy. We are,
correct.
And we are also sacred. Now,
that's
what
right.
Part of the media meets that criteria? Holy or sacred? What part of the mainstream media can we expect to gain real, true information from?
That's been long gone since Ben Franklin and those guys disappeared.
Yes. Yes, that's true. That's very true.
That's right.
Maybe even before them. Maybe.
Well, they were progenitors of the truth. They had the printing press, and they were utilized. Ben Franklin utilized it fully. They were pumping the truth out throughout all the colonies. It was a bright time.
Mm-hmm. No one, Michael. No one is actually, you know, denying that in that sense. Somewhere along the line, the system was allowed to become the Big Brother system that that there are those whose greed could not be quenched, or their thirst for greed and their thirst for power and domination not be quenched, and they had to devise methods to overtake us. Now, in a religious sense, we can make the argument very easily that that's Satan's doing. This is his domain.
When at that higher level. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Now, and he has many minions working for him, too.
All so, the way down to the physical level.
Absolutely. Maybe even the sub-physical level.
Well, they're operating on the non-physical side, but he has his minions here in the physical world doing the activity for him.
Sure. Now, we can say, well, where is my protection from that? Well, if you're operating in a belief system, then you can only be harmed if you are in that belief system believing that you can be harmed. This is where courage comes from. In fact, the opposite of fear is courage.
Okay. Now, the courage comes from the higher self. The fear comes from the lower self.
Or the fear comes from what is not known, or what is not understood, or what is accepted as real or the truth, when it is actually false.
Yes,
false evidence appearing real.
Yeah, but you could have fear where all of a sudden you're going down the street and a bunch of thugs think they're going to have their way with you. It has nothing to do with the truth or a lie. It's a physical situation. Now, your higher self musters up the courage. Your lower self will cower and run.
Well, that might be the solution to the problem. That's one of the first things they teach you in martial arts, is to avoid a fight at all costs.
Yes, but okay. I'm just saying, as far as, you know, there's a situation that fear is coming about, not due to whether it's a truth or not, just a physical situation, has nothing to do with anything but right and wrong. And if you're going to draw on a higher self, you'll find a way through it. Whether it's fighting or not, you'll find a way through it with the higher self.
Yes. Okay, now you brought up an experience that is a result of a certain kind of relationship. A relationship that's desired by the attackers and not desired by the person that would perceive themselves as a victim.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, in making this work now, let's say we'll move on just for the sake of, we have roughly a half an hour left in this show. And so we want to move this along a little bit so we can give people something that they can put to practice. They can use this. They can test this out. And we will come back if you will participate in this again. I think you're the perfect person for this because of your spiritual insight and your understanding of nature and the arts and all these other, and history, all these other things. You were a thinking man and you are a man that operates from spirit. So in fact, Jim Murray and I are going to be doing this in a sense tomorrow. In a slightly different way, okay? We're going to be talking about super consciousness tomorrow, in a scientific perspective as well as a down to earth perspective, and because Jim's got some fantastic things to bring to the table in that regard, just from his scientific and inventive acumen, his creativity. You see,
that's right.
It'll he's be another. A great show. He's another creative individual, but
very much so.
Now we, if let's say that okay, we recognize then that we have an individual responsibility, and we see that we must take action, and we require the proper information to take the proper action. So it's going to require some searching of some sort. We're going to have to look to a source now. Do we become dependent upon that source? That has been the whole issue is that we have given our power to someone else. So we have to reclaim it. Ultimately, we're seeking to be free. Individually and collectively. What good is it for me to be free, Michael, if I can't enjoy it with someone else? What good does it do me to feel love if I can't share that love with someone else and have that person have the same opportunity?
That's why we're not all alone.
Yes, exactly. Well, that's why we have man and woman, too, which are great counterbalances of the energies.
Mm-hmm.
And for the past 13,000 to 15,000 years, the female has been attacked on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
We have this reptilian influence behind the scenes, but it's manifested itself very cleverly throughout society. That by the mid 1950s and definitely into the 60s, you had women's liberation. You had women throwing away their brassieres and some their underwear, and you had this explosive demonstration of freedom from what? From order. Where there was a certain kind of order, there was a mutual respect, there was a nurturing going on with couples, and you saw the divorce rates increased dramatically, and you saw illegitimate babies being born left and right, and everything became chaotic. People went into drug use and became addicted to alcohol and prescription drugs, and you had this general flippant, lackadaisical attitude that no one was going to take life seriously.
All
that,
by design.
It was designed for us, okay? And it's difficult for people to see who is behind that. They're not even aware that they're controlled, most of them.
Yes, Don, and you'll never perceive it until you stop participating in their game and start to observe.
Yes. Well, if you're looking for freedom, you will begin to look at these things more seriously.
That's
you will
right.
pay attention to them, and you will learn to feel, you will learn to listen, or see, or hear, or feel the truth, let's say like that, okay?
What did the Lord say? Though they have eyes, they cannot see. Though they have ears, they cannot hear.
And he said knock, and I guess he wanted you to feel it in your knuckles when he said that. You know, I'm sort of making humor out of that, but, you know, you ask, and the answers will come. God will give you the answers. Some aspect of higher knowledge that you are willing to harmonize with, that you are willing to listen to in or see or feel, will come into your being. It will come into your heart center, and you will feel it. And when it happens, there will be no doubt in your mind that that has happened.
You know what that is? That's called the stimulus, Don. It requires a stimulus for those that don't. Though they have eyes, they cannot see. Though they have ears, they cannot hear. That's a person that's sleeping. They're not aware of anything yet. But a stimulus is what jogs them.
Yes.
Shakes them. And all of a sudden they say, wow, holy smokes, now I see it. Now I understand. You see, so it's stimulus that makes that happen.
Now, some people who wake up, that's very true. Some people who wake up and have their heart centers open for them all of a sudden see that there's some problem that they never realized was there before.
That's right.
Now, some people will ask other people for the answer. You know, I'm a psychic, and I have a lot of people ask me, what do you see? Do you really see this happening? More times than not, I am right about what I see. Am I always right? Well, there's so many variables. At that moment, I would say I'm seeing what's there to see, there to discern.
Sure, but what you said is there. You know, a lot of people, they got to find the answers. They're looking for answers from somebody else.
Outside.
That's where the teacher comes into play. We need good quality teachers for those that are ready for the information to stimulate them so that they're awake, sentient beings ready to engage in volition or engage in activity.
Yes, yes. Now, here's where we can introduce the children, you see. At this stage now, just a logical progression, because once the adult is awakened, the adult is going to recognize what has been done to him or her, and they're going to now be in a position of authority and experience to put the attention or to teach the child how to be attentive to the same things, how to clearly see things the way they are.
That's right.
Why would you want, as a parent, to be free and not have your children be free? Why would you permit your children to be in any kind of bondage whatsoever?
Well, you'll never find a parent that is free and aware to ever neglect their child that way.
Oh, I don't know.
Really?
I still see the chaos. I'm still witnessing the chaos.
I'm talking about a parent now that's really awake, their heart center is wide open, so their spiritual nature's pretty developed, and yet they're going to neglect their kid.
Well, if they're, you know, when their kid's in a public school where these agenda are still being carried out,
right,
and they're not attentive.
That's why you got to pull them out of that environment.
Well, exactly. So in that sense, there's something there. Now, that happens.
You're no longer raised. That's under those conditions, Don, the parent is no longer raising the child. The child's in the environment of strangers more than they're in the environment of their own parents. So who's really raising the kid then?
Yes. You see, our parents taught us the best way they could within their means and with all the things they were juggling.
And exposure.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And their parents the same way. Now, one wonders if there was a time when in one's lineage there was a generation that was wide awake.
No, not in the world of mortals, never was. Only certain sets of people that propel civilization forward. But the masses are generally always asleep. It's the way of the mortals.
Well, there could have been a stage, I'm saying, in anyone's individual lineage where someone in their family was awake, but where would that be? You know, how far would you have to go back to find that?
We know that for sure there were certain civilizations that seemingly disappeared instantaneously. I mean, the plates were set and everything, and they all vanished. And those were highly civilized people, fully awake, all of them, and they made a major move, which I won't get into, and they disappeared.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we can name several societies that that's happened to.
And that happened during the time frame of the Age of the Mortals. So it was very, very rare, and it's long gone. That kind of activity is virtually long gone, but it's not totally. And some other time, if you want, we'll pursue that.
Yeah. So now let's remind ourselves that we're not going to go back into the past. See how easy it is for us to slip and go back? And I'm not saying that I'm not saying there's no validity in that, but I'm saying in terms of problem solving, we want to get off the merry-go-round. We want to stop the revolution, which takes us back through the same path, repeating the same mistakes, being dominated by some other force that may take another shape. We're talking about freedom here, and we're talking about growth and a higher consciousness.
Sure.
And a free individual who is conscious is not going to be imprisoned.
That's right. I would just be careful about how you refer to going back in the past, because the old axiom, those that do not know their history are doomed to repeat it. So here we are looking at our country in this mess only because the modern Americans don't know their past.
Well, many don't know their present either.
You'll never understand your present if you don't know your past, Don. At an individual level, and I was just explaining this to someone the other day, and they flipped, because I said it's so easy to predict the future. It's mm-hmm. unbelievably easy at the individual level.
Yes.
For example, I know what my future is because it's based on what I'm doing right now. Just like my present conditions are existing only because of what I did in the past. So I know exactly what my future is going to be by exactly what I'm doing today and tomorrow and the day after.
Yeah. Well, now what we're talking about here, this whole discussion is really about transforming the human being into what we were created to be.
A true human being.
A true human being. Okay. and so we're talking about the knowledge, the proper attention to the details that permit us to become active in our use of the knowledge, apply or application of the knowledge in a real way where we intend and we attend at the same time to what we're doing. We have to be able to communicate this to ourselves. We have to be able to consider this and face it and move out of denial. A lot of people describe movement as a forward kind of movement, and I like to describe it as a vertical kind of movement, that we're
right.
moving to a higher vibration, because forward right. just moves us from point A to point B, and it doesn't give up us a perspective as to if we've grown at all.
Mm-hmm.
In that sense.
Sure.
You know, when you're higher up on a mountain, you can see more.
And that's why we have to develop our higher self. The higher self is what we have to allow to become us. And then we will be a true human being.
Mm-hmm. So we have to hone our communication skills. We've got to be able to understand that when we're communicating with each other, and right now, with the chaos that's going on in the world, would we choose to solve our problems, Michael? What do you see if we had a choice? Either choose your problems or entertain yourself. Be entertained by something. Find some way, something to distract you from your problems. Really, what is going to benefit us in the long run?
I'm sorry, Don. What's the question?
Okay, I was asking you, if we were to look at our problems and be given the opportunity to either solve our problems or take another path and, let's say, spend that time instead of facing the problems and working at coming up with solutions, mm-hmm. the other activity would be to just be entertained.
Ignore them or circumvent the problem?
To escape them. Let's say to escape them. That's usually what people do. So let's say you're given the option to solve the problem
mm-hmm.
or escape the problem.
Well, there is no escaping a problem. The problems present themselves for a specific purpose. That's why we're here, to learn. So the problems force us to learn. To ignore that particular problem is for you to stand still, because until you address that given problem and resolve it, it's always going to be there until you get past that one.
So true. And it requires our attention. You see, when we are diverted, when our attention is on entertainment, we've allowed ourselves to take our attention off the solution of that problem. That doesn't mean that the problem's not there.
It's just we've
removed our attention from it.
That's correct.
Actually, we compound the problem by doing that.
Definitely.
Which is where we are today. This is the whole reason that I went down this path.
Sure.
Now, we are communicating, Michael. You see this? We are communicating, and we are coming to a point of agreement, even though you and I are agreeing throughout this whole thing.
Oh, sure.
You're getting the concept of how general this is, in a sense, and we can use specifics to pinpoint, you know, the how this works in a specific way, but we can apply this system to any problem, any problem whatsoever.
Absolutely. All problems are the same.
We get, and I'm a Christian, and yet I have a certain opinion, or I've drawn certain conclusions about organized religion because they force one to conform. They force one to give up their freedom mm-hmm. for someone else's agenda.
Mm-hmm.
You see, God will instruct me if I'm, in speaking in a religious sense, if God has something to tell me, he's quite capable of telling me, and I'm quite capable of hearing it. I don't need a middleman to be my translator.
Absolutely, Don.
Right? Is it what? Press 1 for English, press 2 for Spanish, and press 3 for God?
That's right. Exactly.
When is that option going to come on our phones? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And man, it's going to be an expensive one when it is.
Yeah.
Okay? So I'm just using that. I'm not mocking religion in a sense. But what I'm saying is, if you feel that you have to submit to something so much that you give all your power away to another, then you take the responsibility for that.
Well, let me,
one way or another, you're going to take the responsibility.
Every time. And let me just say quick with religion. Religion is a crutch. I would always ask, what religion is in heaven? That's the one I'll follow. There is no religion in heaven because they all know God personally. Religions are for people knowing there's a God, but they don't know him personally. And so that's where they get trapped, and because it's a power base for controllers. But the spiritual person has no need for religion anymore because they got the personal relationship. There's no more crutch needed. They're standing on their own 2 feet. It's him or her with their creator.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Now, we can apply the same rule to science. We can apply this to politics. We can apply this to our education. We can apply this to health issues, medicine, doctors, all of those issues, energy, nature. We can apply this, the same principle to that. Ultimately, we are each responsible. And then as we become responsible human beings, we'll recognize our duty. Really, we have a duty. Who could teach a child other than an adult? with knowledge. And it's not, you know, proper teaching isn't the teacher saying to the student, I'm the teacher and you will do as I say because I have learned and you have not learned. I have studied my lessons and I've learned my lessons and now I'm in a position to show you. That is going to create separation right from the get-go. And it's operating from the past. The teacher said, I have learned my lessons. Now it's time for you to learn yours. It's this devaluing and discounting what that student brings to the table, number one. There is an approach that we are going to work together, and we are going to learn together, and we are going to explore together, and we are going to create together. It's a totally different approach, and yet it will still work because you're allowing those children to be who they really are, who they were created to be.
Sure.
Without all the stigma attached to it.
A good teacher knows how to present the information without stifling the creativity of the student.
Yes.
So that, and at the same time, the good teacher is always receptive because the good teacher knows as much as he knows or she knows, they don't know it all. And they're always ready and receptive for when truth manifests in however it does, so they, and they'll be ready to receive it.
Yeah.
So sure, absolutely.
Michael, I can tell you just in teaching music, and I've taught music in elementary school level, and I've actually my youngest student was 2 years old.
Wow.
A Chinese pianist, now a concert pianist, many years later. Mm-hmm. I had adults. My oldest student was 96 years old, played organ at the Lake Avenue Church in Pasadena, California. Huge pipe organ. 96 years old.
Wow.
Built hospitals in India as a missionary. Mm-hmm. So anyone can learn and anyone can be taught. And I can tell you that every one of those students, there's a 94-year age span from the youngest to the oldest student that I've ever had. And the one thing I learned is that every student requires me to produce a new method of teaching, because everyone's capacity to learn and their method of expression in their interest in music and their physiology and all the subtle issues that gives them different levels of acumen or different levels of ability as students, as musicians, as creators, or as creative beings, I had to learn from the student. The student was actually teaching me the way they could be taught, if you know what I'm saying.
Yes, Don, I know what you mean. We all have our own particular knack of how we assimilate information. A good teacher is going to be savvy to that and know the particular preferences of all their students and how they absorb the information so they can provide it in the best manner for them to absorb.
Yes. Now, from proper teaching comes understanding and the knowledge and the wisdom. And from that comes order. And so those few steps already lead us back to order. If people understand what is going on in the world, they can choose the correct path to produce the correct results. And we have no use for chaos. Chaos cannot exist. As long as we're buying into illusions, as long as we're accepting illusions or believing, assuming because someone else has told us it's so, that these illusions are real, we are never going to know the truth. We're never going to solve our problems. We're always going to be in some form of bondage or slavery, and we are not going to be free. And as a result, we are not going to be creative. And how can you be happy when you're not any of those things?
You can't.
And probably the most creative way we can be is to be in a state of love, or just, you know, perpetual truth, you know, to know God and to be able to share that with people and have that reality constantly in your life. It's amazing. And to have health and to have longer life and to be happy and to be abundant and productive and generous and giving, all the good qualities that are missing today.
Yes, sadly, yes. That's what happens when you become self-absorbed, very self-centered, very selfish.
And we're taught that, aren't we? Because
as soon as we're born.
Yeah. This is what I referred to at the beginning, Michael. And, you know, I know your understanding of the mind and how it works and that, but I'm speaking about this message that's come through, and this has been over a period of time, and I've gotten so much email about this solution that I decided that it's time to start addressing it, that people are ready. If they're asking for it, they're ready to hear this.
I agree.
We all want to express our views and how we feel about life, what we think the problems are and how we think things should be. And we all have that right. In our creative selves, it's natural to be that way. And once we know who we really are, it's so easy for us to accept that in others. That creates community, you see? Now we move out of the fear into an understanding. We create an order through our responsibility and the education or the re-education, and I'm speaking about true education here, the true acquisition of knowledge, or the true acquisition of real information, not programmed information that has some other ulterior motive other than arriving at the truth and making us be who we are, which is whole or holy beings. It wouldn't hurt us to keep repeating that over and over. We have to remind ourselves.
And that's part of the waking up process, to constantly drill into the mind certain key fundamentals so that you don't go back to sleep.
Yes. Now that brings us to a point about fear. And I think, you know, this is probably going to be the last thing that we can talk about tonight just because of the time. Seth just sent me a chat message that we can run over a little bit. So if you're up to it,
sure,
we can do that if need be. Fear is used as a major method of control. And we see this in our media. Mm-hmm. We see it in the news. You're given 50 stories in a one-hour news program, little snippets of this guy died, this bus crashed, this bomb exploded, this plane crashed, these people were murdered, these people drowned, this person got sick. It's nonstop. We're fed a steady diet of this, and it moves the vibration right in the face of fear. The ultimate fear that anyone has, and it's the least spoken of fear, is the fear of death. As you well pointed out in the beginning, is our mortality. I didn't want to jump the gun with that. That's why I sort of pulled you back. You're very correct in that. Yet, in terms of this progression, fear would come up next. Mm-hmm. Because we're at a point now where we have some tools with which to deal with fear, you see?
That's right, Dan. You have to come to terms with the world we're living in. It's controlled by fear, like you're saying, but let me point out how much. When you go out in nature, just sit back, throw some feed down, bird seed or something, or watch the animals grazing, and you'll notice that when they eat, they're not taking their time and acting like they got all day long and everything's fine. They take a little nibble or a peck, and then they pick their head up and they look around. Then they nibble again, they look up. What are they? They're in constant fear, even when they're eating, because they're afraid something's going to pounce on them and eat them. So we're in a world of fear controlled by fallen angels, and they feed on fear. Fear is their vibration as a food that they thrive on, just like the Almighty, the Lord, the good angels, the vibration love is what they feed on.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Now, that I'm glad you brought that up, because I did want to talk about nature in that sense, you know, because there's sort of a nature to fear itself.
It's inherent in the fallen world nature, in the fallen nature of this world that we're in. It's inherent.
Yes, yes. Now, there's also the aspect of our own fear being projected on the animals and on nature too. You see,
absolutely.
It's not that just people are affected by our fear or those in our immediate proximity. We send this out to the whole universe. Can you imagine? And I do this in a lot of shows, and I know I've done this when you've been on the show in one respect or another. Can you imagine being out in space from another planet, and you're watching what's going on here at Earth, on Earth? And don't doubt that this is the case, okay? And we can do a show on that sometime. But okay. Imagine there are others. There are other beings that are very much like us, except they are much more advanced, and they're over all these hang-ups. They're probably rejoicing that we're even talking about this tonight to the extent we are, because anyone that raises their consciousness as a result is going to be deemed a success in the life that's transforming here on the planet.
Sure. Sure.
And they're observing what's going on. Now, can you imagine what their reaction is every time they see someone move into a state of fear?
Mm-hmm.
And in that, their understanding of fear is something that has been with them maybe for a million years in their society, and that their technologies and their general knowledge about all things, about science or the arts or the body and food and every abundance and happiness and love, all these things they can experience on a much grander scale because fear is not masking it or preventing it from even coming to them, you see?
Yes, and to follow up with what you said, that, you know, we're spreading it. Well, it's our ancestors that caused it. We, as mankind, are like angels. And everything in this creation is subservient to us, as it says in Genesis, ye have dominion over the earth. And so when our ancestors fell from that higher state, they fell to this, they caused nature to become fallen, whereas it's not, she's not as perfect as she was. For example, predators feeding on prey, where prior everything was vegetarian. And so it's all due to our ancestors. So sure, we spread fear more than anything else, because we are the caretakers. We are the pattern which everything is connected to, since we're the highest life form of a divine being. And so we are solely responsible for how much fear is being spread around.
There's that word responsible again. There's that word that we started off with.
There you go.
Isn't that amazing? Ultimately, we come full circle. We're not by any means finished with this, folks. this could go on and on and on. But it comes back to responsibility. God gave us dominion over, and that term is another way of saying we are responsible.
We are lords.
Yes.
Domini. Right?
Yes. And individually and collectively. You see, it's very convenient to say, well, you know, I'm doing my thing, but nobody else is. It's convenient because part of your responsibility is to awaken those.
That's right.
As much as sometimes it's a drag and it's discouraging for me and my listeners, no. They know when I go on a rant and I'm not chastising them. I also know that there are people sending emails out, they're sending information, they're doing their part to awaken people. I'm not criticizing those people. I'm not criticizing even the ones that are asleep. They're asleep. We all have a responsibility to wake these people up. Now, you know, they're going to be in a bit of a stupor, just like you wake somebody up in the morning. You ever wake a 5-year-old child up and they're still asleep. Their eyes are open, they're sitting up and they're rubbing their eyes, but they're asleep still.
Sure.
And it takes them a while to awaken really to a full consciousness. And I know adults that are that way or even more to an extreme. And some you can't even awaken. It doesn't matter.
It's not their time.
Yeah, well, I'm speaking about from the physical act of sleeping. You know, it's, you know, we've all, those of us that went to college or were someplace, you know, where somebody said, hey, you know, I'm going to be up studying all night. If I'm not up when you get up, make sure I'm up, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, 5 hours later, they're trying to locate you to have you write a bogus excuse for them, you know.
Yeah. No, well, Don, as far as, you know, with what you're saying, that we're responsible to wake our fellow brothers and sisters up, and that's true. The Lord made it clear, to those who much is given, much is required.
Mm-hmm.
And so years ago, in the early 90s, I used to hang around with a bunch of friends, not a bunch, but some like brothers. I grew up with them. And I used to tell them about the North American Union, the Amaro coming, $5 gasoline, and the UN global government scheme, and on and on and on. And that's all I care talking about. And how to avoid it all by, of course, spiritual development and bringing the Lord center into our lives so that enough individuals have that accomplished so that we can offset the negative energies and save our country. And so one particular day, I run into my older brother, and he says, hey, I heard you were just over so-and-so's hanging out. I said, yeah. And he said, well, he's looking at me now with this look of disappointment and disgust. And he says, you know, they seen you coming in the driveway, and they go, oh, here comes the preacher. So I looked at my brother right in the eye, and I said, oh, really? Did they say that, huh? I said, let me tell you something right now. The day's going to come where I'm standing before the Lord himself. And no way is the Lord going to accuse me of saying, Mike, I gave you so much information, more than maybe 100 people combined ever possessed, and you didn't do nothing with it, Mike. You kept it all to yourself. You were afraid to say share it because you would look like you were stupid or blankety blank. And so I told my brother, says, the Lord is never going to accuse me of that. I'd rather look like a blankety blank to my friends and make sure I know I'm at least trying to enlighten them all and let them think I'm a fool, I'm an idiot, and a blankety blank. But no way is the Lord going to do that. The Lord will say, good try, Mike. You did good. You did the best you could to wake up a bunch of sleeping fools.
Yeah, well, you see, you know, you're talking about something that I talked about earlier. Now, they may be looking at you as a middleman, in a sense, but you're lighting the path. You're lighting that darkness or that dark path for them.
That's right. You got it.
And it's up to them if they want to take action and walk that path. And it's they're free to make their own choice.
Absolutely.
They're free to make their own choice. Even an atheist listening to the show, if he or she applies what we said in terms of operating from the heart center, learning to listen from the heart, feel it from the heart, see it in the heart, you will liberate yourself.
Much longer.
You will free yourself from the control of that synthetic mind heart that's been created through ego and idol worship and the propaganda, the mind control, and all of that.
Because, and just a material perspective.
Yes. And you see, there's nothing wrong with success if it's honored in its truest sense.
That's right.
The word success has become a reflection of how much wealth you have, how many possessions you own, how many toys, all the things that enrich the controllers and keep you from knowing who you really are. You're doing their bidding by achieving that goal.
You know, Don, that's so true. Just to give an example of that one, quite a few years back, a relative hanging out, my aunt, and with my mom, and so she, you know, I played a classical piano, she loves it, I played some Spanish guitar, she loves it, I'm growing figs in the backyard, all kinds of stuff in the summer, eating good stuff out of the yard, love it, the pool area is pristine, I do masonry, and I do all these kinds of things, so my aunt's like, you know, Michael, it's a shame you're not rich, because you do all these things, but you're not rich, and I said, hold on. I'm actually very rich. Look at all the things that I do. However, I just don't have a lot of money. And so there you go, Don. People have their concepts screwed up. To be rich has nothing to do necessarily with just material possession. It's talent, talent, talent. Cultivate those talents. The more talent you cultivate, the richer you really are.
You see? Yeah, now. Let's now we can use an actual real-time example of what's occurring right now and what's planned for the near future. And this does not have to occur. This is the whole point, is if we're free of this, this will not affect us.
That's right.
So if you those of you who have written to me or asked me in a private conversation or amongst a group of people, what can I do or what can we do to change this? We're looking to become ultimately free of this and to be creative and aware. You have to take responsibility individually first. You've got to be responsible for everything that you do and all the decisions that you make.
And every thought, word, and deed.
Yes. And you have to be accountable for it. That's what taking
Hello.
Responsibility has to do. And you have to pay attention to it. You can't pretend that if you ignore it, it will go away. It won't evaporate. You have to put your attention on it. Seriously, you have to put your attention on it. Mm-hmm. Michael used the word somber. I'm not criticizing your use of the word other than I think of funerals. To me, a funeral procession is somber.
That's okay. It could mean that too, but somber definitely means serious,
serious. Yes. Dead serious.
Dead serious. You got it, Dan. Literally dead serious.
Okay. Now,
hey, that's how serious this is, buddy. We're talking about life and death here.
This is, this is serious. It is. It's a very serious discussion. Okay, now, we're talking about a practical use of knowledge, practical knowledge in the now. It's okay to reflect on what is known, but when you reflect on the known, you tend to focus on the I, and in that sense, the I becomes the past. You see, that's where we're trapped, is that you're identifying with the way it was and what you knew about it when it was.
I wouldn't say we're tying in with the past. I would say that when we focus too much on the I, we're separating ourselves from the wholeness of being one with our Creator. And that's when we cut ourselves short, for example.
Well, we cover that too, yeah.
Like, you know, a lot of my friends, which are students really over the years, and you amaze me all the time. How do you retain all this? How do you do all these different things? And you're good at it all. So it's very simple. With the Lord, I'm everything. Without the Lord, I'm nothing. I'm always dwelling with the Lord in all my activities. And because of that, He enables me to do everything perfectly well. But if I didn't have that relationship, I wouldn't be able to do anything right.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Now, you brought up something which I think is appropriate to bring up now in terms of fear, because, you know, we touched on the general nature of fear, and it's an illusion, number one. It seems real because we feel it. And the reason why we feel it is because there are centers in our body. Physiologically, we have centers. This has been seen with Curlian photography and other methods of looking at the light body in human beings. And we have what are known as wheels of light or chakras, as they're called. And they represent certain colors and certain levels of function within who we are as a soul, as a mental body, and as a physical body in the three-dimensional world.
And let me just say real quick, and the reason why is because those chakras are energy centers.
Yes.
And in order to be really aware and conscious, awake all the time, it takes energy, a lot of energy. And notice that all the people asleep don't have energy. So it's key to make sure that all the centers, the chakras, are open and functioning nicely so that the energy is really at maximum potential.
Mm-hmm.
And how to achieve that's a whole nother story.
Now, there are two areas on the human body that are primed for attack. And this can be on a spiritual level. That doesn't mean that all things in spirit are white, let's say. We have or in the light. We have white would represent all of the colors in the rainbow. The blackness would be the absence of light or what is referred to as the dark side or the darkness. And the evil operates in that because it has to hide. It's devoid of light. So it is by its very own nature dark. And its ability to affect us has everything to do with what we believe versus what we know, because what we know is going to be put into action, and if it's integral action, if it's of the highest order, the highest vibration, the darkness can't touch that action. It's when the action becomes debased. Now, that's the part of the lower self that Michael was talking about earlier, in that sense. Okay? I'm honoring what you said there, Michael. That aspect of our lower self is what manifests itself in these undesired actions or compulsions or addictions or habits that we don't even think of. We just succumb to them. And on some levels they are like disabilities, or they cause or they affect disabilities within us, starting with our health, because it's a physiological issue, the light that's around your body, and it actually transcends all aspects of who we are. It doesn't just affect the physical or the mental, but also has everything to do with our ability to communicate with the higher spiritual frequencies. Now, this is known to those. Michael talked about they very well know the metaphysics. And this is where I feel it's, you know, that we can talk about this and know that the listening audience has an understanding of where we have progressed with this, so that we just don't throw it out there. Some people know, and this isn't intended to insult anyone's experience or knowledge in this area. It's that everyone can come along and follow this path. The beginners, the people that are hearing this type of conversation for the first time. If you can see an aura or see these light centers, these wheels of light, these energy centers in the human body, then you know they're there. Many people can feel them, and they certainly can feel when they're closed or blocked and the energy is not flowing through there. And it's self-evident when you're sick. When you have an illness, a physical illness or a mental illness, it's usually because there's a block in one of those or one or more of those energy centers. There are two areas that are immediately attacked by those that are controlling us. They know of these centers, and they have the technologies and the means, and we discussed the food and the pollution and all of these other aspects. Medicines can do this as well. They can shut off two frequencies. One is in the second chakra. It's described as orange light. and it affects women in a very unusual way, because a woman's reproductive organs are in that area of that second chakra, and by affecting the woman's energy, it affects the man's energy. It breaks down the communication lines between men and women, or the male-female aspect of our being. And so it is done intentionally, because the female women are very, very sensitive, metaphysically speaking. They are more inclined to be psychic than men, merely because they are more open in that area. That is not the only place in the body that a person can be psychic, but that is where life is given. That's where the miracle of procreation takes place.
That's where female intuition is the
seat. Yes. Now, we've spoke about the heart center. The other area where this covert attack or this control takes place, and this is done through electronics, and it's done through the frequency of the foods or additives to foods, food additives, food flavorings, food colorings, and even genetic modification of foods or chemical additives that are sold to us as flavor enhancers or natural flavors or flavor, you know, some, they have some, normal sounding name, and they do the most sadistic things to the human body. But they close off our intuitive capabilities, which are in our pineal gland, the area slightly above and in between the eyebrows and into the forehead. The pineal gland, can be opened. It can take place during a religious experience, or it could take place through an accident. A bump on the head can cause it to open, or you can have achieved a level of consciousness where it opens naturally. That is where the synthetic heart has been created through the programming that we go through. This is why people are making their heart decisions from their head. And they say, well, I gave this a lot of thought, and I just don't know what I'm going to do, and I'm not sure if it feels right. And there's all this chaos and this confusion because they're not tapping into the source that way. That is a conduit for telepathic information of a certain sort. But it doesn't hold love in there, and it doesn't operate on the love frequency. It's like an antenna is the best way I could describe it. And so this is understood by those that manipulate us to cause us to make our decisions from the mind instead of from the heart. Now I'm speaking about freedom here. And if you're thinking from your head and you're not free, you might consider this as an option. I say it like that because I know it to be where it's from. This is why I don't exude fear. This is why I don't experience fear. This is why I am not afraid. This is why I recognize fear as false evidence appearing real to those that feel it. There was a time when I felt fear. All of us have felt fear at one time or another. And fear has a way of creeping up on you. But through experience or through this practice of listening to the heart, opening the heart, not just to anything, you've got to use your discernment. And use your mind, use your brains, use your experience. Use your brains to analyze some of these things. The brain is really a great tool for solving problems, but it's in the practical application of the information that comes in through the heart center. And you know, you can send it out from your heart center too. It's not just about taking it in. Everybody says, well, who's going to do this for us? Or how is this going to come about? This whole show tonight has been about us offering the solutions to you because you have them within you already. They're even there. It's not a question of going outside of yourself to find this. And yet, you can, as Michael was saying, he can go to God, and God can give him more information, more power, more energy, more love, more health, more abundance. If for some reason he's not, or he can ask God to open his heart, or open that pathway to where he can become conscious of it. You see, it's a consciousness thing. If you're not feeling it, or you're in belief as to whether or not it exists, you're not in the knowing of it. You're not experiencing it. You can't take action upon it. You can only react to it, or just allow it to be there and just be something that exists for no purpose. That doesn't solve our problems. We have to have a purpose for solving a problem. And the purpose, I would hope, is to free us, to liberate us. Liberation is going to allow us to be creative, and we are going to really know our power and experience it. And there is nothing to fear when we're in that state. Nothing can harm you. You will understand and you will know the true essence of who you are. And boy, when you know who you are, and your mate, your spouse, your friends, your family, your neighbors, your business associates, even your enemies, when you know them and they know you, all of that disappears. It evaporates. And you see everything very clearly. And then these things that have been controlling human beings, or humanity, I have to say humanity, because if they were human beings, we wouldn't be in this situation. If they were acting out their who they are as human beings, they would not be in this situation. Michael, do you disagree or agree?
No, I concur 100%, Don. You said that perfectly well. If we were all conducting ourselves the way we were intended by the designer to conduct ourselves, we'd be in paradise right now.
Yes, we would have paradise right here on earth, wouldn't we?
Just like it was in the beginning.
And there may be the strong possibility that we wouldn't even have to die physically.
There's no death in paradise.
Exactly. So there's a lot to look forward to here, and fear. Really, in this sense, I don't know what this is the spirit talking through me tonight. And I told you, you know, we're going to do this tonight, Michael, and we're just going to go for broke and bring this message through. I hope from my perspective, and the listening audience got something out of this and we've cast some light on this.
Yes, I do too, Don. I really hope that we succeeded at that. I think you really covered it all very well, and hopefully your listeners really benefited from the proper approach to becoming what we are and letting go of what we are not.
Mm-hmm. You know, the art of listening is important too. I mean, I'm when you said listeners just now, It resounded in my head, sort of like a, you know, church bell ring that dong. And it was, I thought I should mention, you know, because I call them listening audience. I mean, they're my friends.
Yeah.
They're people that have come here to hear a message, and they never know what message they're going to hear. And honestly, I don't know what message they're going to hear from night to night. I may have
a topic.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But see, they're listening. They're in the process of hearing.
That's right.
Okay. And it's probably good to say that we all can become better listeners.
Sure.
Listening not from the ego, listening for the sake of coming to this understanding, this mutual understanding. It doesn't mean one of us is always right and the other is always wrong. This is not about controlling each other. This is about recognizing our oneness.
Definitely. This is all about us as individuals coming to terms with our imperfections and also recognizing the perfection that we can be. And perfection, like everything else, is multi-level. I mean, you get to a certain level of perfection, but that's not the end of it. There's another level of perfection to attain, just like with a beautiful music piece. Some songs are perfect, and some aren't. And the ones that are perfect will be played for a long time, over and over again, because they're perfect. However, as perfect as it is, in other realms, other places, or down the road, some other great genius is going to come along and even make one even more perfect. Doesn't mean the one before wasn't perfect, it's just not as perfect as the new one. And so that's how it is, and hopefully everyone is understanding that. And it's our duty as an individual to simply pursue perfection. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What is his will? It's perfection. The Lord wants his Father's perfect will fully functioning in our world again so paradise can be restored. Well, how does his perfect will manifest? Through us. That's why we're here. Co-creators serving our Father God to help him manifest his perfect divine will in our world again so peace, prosperity, abundance, and the lack of evil can flourish in this realm again.
Yeah, you know, there we have these sayings that serve us as excuses to get out of situations. You know, you hear, when you talk about perfection like you're talking about it right now, we hear, nobody's perfect.
Right.
Well, of course no one is perfect, but there's nothing wrong with striving to be perfect.
Perfection. Yeah.
I was going to say perfection is going to consist of all of the qualities and all of the characteristics, all the elements of what is good. And that word good means akin to God.
That's right. That's right. Now, when I hear that nobody's perfect, Michael, nobody's perfect, say, hold on. You're telling me that body that you got isn't perfect? You got two good arms, two good legs, no obvious problems, handicaps, nothing like that. All your faculties are functioning fine. You're enjoying life with that body the good Lord blessed you with. That's not perfect? Now, as an individual occupying that body, there's no perfection. Okay. But don't say there's no such thing as nobody's perfect, because we all have perfect bodies to start off with.
Oh, I'm agreeing with you.
I know you are. That's how I clarify it when I hear that lined up. Oh, nobody's perfect.
Yeah. I mean, we have all of those things said to us over and over again. Those are those mantras that
condition us to be imperfect.
Well, they condition us to give away our power.
That's right.
Ultimately, is what we have done is we've agreed, either on a conscious or subconscious level, to give away our power, to give it to someone else. And they will, like vampires, take as much as they can in every other way they can as well.
That's true.
The aspect of sex is a very natural gift from God. The ability to reproduce and even the concept of orgasm is God's way of reminding us what it would be like to be in heaven, to be in paradise, to be at that vibration. It's a short reminder. It's a small reminder in comparison to what it would be like to be there, but we've been gifted with that, and it's misused, and it's abused, and it's mocked, or it's been created in that mind heart that I talked about, where people feel love in their heads, and when they get a headache, I mean, have you been around anyone with a headache? They're not someone pleasant to be around. They don't exude love. They don't exhibit love.
You can never exhibit that when you're in pain. It's real hard when you're in pain to still be loving. Boy, that's a real challenge.
Yeah. Yet, the cause of the pain might have everything to do with the lack of love. Or...
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? On some level.
Yeah, and here's an example of that, how it could be at a level. Generally, headaches are due to a bad stomach. Unless there's an injury to the head, most headaches are due to a bad stomach. So I have everybody use my herbal tea, which clears it out quick, and also my system toner. And so, why'd they get the headache? Because they don't love their body enough to take care of it properly enough, where you never get a headache because the body's too healthy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I can't remember the last time I had a headache.
Knock on wood.
Now, I know some people that can be headaches, but I'm just joking. I have known some people like that. But then again, you see, maybe the next time you're on, we can talk about the meaning of words, and we can talk about it in a very broad sense, and I won't be so restrictive as I was tonight. But, Michael, I want to thank you for allowing me to be a demagogue of sorts.
I didn't realize your word, Don.
What's that?
I didn't even realize you were.
Well, I'm just saying in the sense of, you know, insisting that we follow this path, because I thought this through very carefully, that we would move from one point to the other, and then in the end sort of encapsulate it like we did. You see, we got the cart where it belonged, and it was appropriate for it to be there, just in the series of the discussion. So, you know, I want to thank you for going along with that.
Oh, sure, it was fun.
Because we could go off on tangents on all of this stuff as we go along, and it would be interesting. Now, what I'm going to find interesting is the email that I get from people and the results that they start getting. Because you've got to apply this to what you see as a problem. I didn't go into the problems because that's putting restrictions on it, you see?
It's always the same approach no matter what the problem is.
That's what I said. It doesn't really matter what the problem is. If you remember when I said that, I want to speak in that general sense that can be applied to any problem.
Mm-hmm.
Any problem whatsoever. Ultimately, we must, in closing, I want to say this, we have to be willing to allow our hearts to open to receive this information. And you metaphysicians out there know that this is where an integral metaphysician operates, from the heart center, and that this knowledge comes through the heart. It passes through the mind as we calculate and manipulate the different ways that this information can be used in activities. If it's healing, it comes through the heart, doesn't come through the head. But the brain can certainly decide what healing modality might be applied in a certain situation. Or if it's inspiration, or it's encouragement, or it's education, and those things, that all is rightfully in the mind. But you're not going to be doing it from a mind heart, which has been taught to feel and see and hear and believe in illusion. And that's where the ego resides. The ego doesn't reside in the heart. It resides in the mind in that sense that it keeps paying attention to itself by interfering with your thoughts and attacking your mental focus and attacking your intention. Because at some level you make a decision, you make a choice. And that's really a sacred gift that you have. You have that sacred gift or that sacred ability to make that choice. That's been given to us by God. We've allowed others to make our decisions for us, and therefore we expect them to come provide us with our solutions. They're not doing that. Not out of this chaos. They're not doing it. Not out of the murder of millions of people. Not out of the creation of war. And the intentional creation of disease and the poisoning of our atmosphere and our foods. And the list goes on and on and on and on and on. Those are the people that we've given our power to and are expecting them to solve these issues. They don't have any intention of doing that. Because if they did, they would have done it a long time ago. And even their systems are falling apart now, too.
It's their system that's causing all the mess. They don't care about the environment. They're causing all the pollution. They got us trapped with the petroleum crap that pollutes everything. It's not our fault. We don't have any options. I'd love to have something else to drive around besides a gas-guzzling polluter. But they don't give me anything. I'll have to invent one myself because they're never going to give it. Yeah. So they're a bunch of phony, fraud, counterfeiters that are just controllers, like Don said, masochists, and they want everybody in perpetual fear and enslavement. That's how they're happy. That's what makes them happy. If we are happy, they're miserable. When we're miserable, they're happy because they're devils.
You see, our true happiness does not come by owning the things that they program us to desire to own. You know, the type of desire that they have created into us has been programmed as well. If your children had never seen a McDonald's commercial, they wouldn't be craving the things that McDonald's sells or Taco Bell or any of these companies. I'm not singling out a company. I'm just saying, I've seen kids throw temper tantrums and really wild ones because they're not allowed to just demand that they want something to eat. Especially, you know, the mother might be in the store shopping with the kids and she's buying food for the meal that night. And the kids are flipping out because she's not taking them to McDonald's and knocking stuff off of the shelves and hitting their mother, literally physically hitting their mother. And so these patterns of behavior have been ingrained on some level into the consciousness of these kids. Very well could be in their genes at this stage of the game, because it's been going on for such a long time that these behavior patterns, which are evident in where people have addictions as well, very well could be in the DNA. And still, we have a changing universe. Things are constantly changing, and things are tending to look like they're going to move into a higher dimension here. They are moving. So, Michael, we're out of time. We've got to close the show now. And Seth is even reminding me at the moment I said that. So,
Don, well, thank you for inviting me. It's been a lot of fun, as always.
Okay. And I look forward to your next visit.
Now, thank you. I too.
I think you're on next week, aren't you?
I believe so.
If I remember.
Let's see.
I'll tell you in a second here. I think you're going to be on.
I believe I'm on the 13th, Don.
Yes. Thursday the 13th is your next visit.
Great.
So,
looking forward already.
That's next Thursday. So I'm looking forward to that too. And. And I'll share any response we get from the listening audience here. I know a lot of people wanted us to talk about this, so I'm glad that we had that opportunity. So I'm going to say goodnight to you and to the listening audience. You have been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com, and our special guest Michael Anthony and I will continue a discussion similar to this next Thursday, and who knows what else. In the meantime, special thanks to Don Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. Seth Hendrick on the sound tonight. Seth, the sound was great. So was the music. And to the listening audience, try this out. Good luck with this. And please don't hesitate to give us a call or an email and let us know how this works out for you. Give it your sincerest, open-hearted attention and see if it doesn't work. I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light. We'll see you tomorrow. In the meantime, have a good night.